unfiltered, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It is Monday, November the 29th. I'm sorry, Monday, November the 28th into Tuesday, November the 29th. And lo and behold, yet again here, I'm seeing it happen as we speak. It's a repeat of what we had happen last week, last time we tried to do a show. Here it is yet again. And again, all night, all day, all week, since all weekend, since last week, all through the holidays, absolutely no problems whatsoever. And as soon as we start the show at showtime, we have stuttering and skipping and all that stuff occurring on the stream, lo and behold. And of course, they would be doing this right around, right, since this, you know, of course, they know this is our fundraising week. And it's the week we pay the bills on Thursday, and they know that a new film is coming out, and it's done, and, you know, so they're going to mess with me. But, you know, the thing about it is the archives record fine. So even if you're hearing skipping and all this stuff on the stream, that doesn't reflect that in the archives. I don't know what else to do. I've, everything checks out on the server side. It's not the computer, it's not doing anything but running the stream, but running the encoders. That's all this thing's doing. But again, you know, I do find it odd that, the last couple of times we've had shows, again, streaming audio and everything just fine. And, you know, I'd understand a lot of times when I used to be a computer tech. So a lot of times when you're doing computer diagnostics, you try to look at, what happened with the computer since it started doing whatever it's doing. In this case, you know, I could understand if there was something else processor intensive going on or something changed when we go over to start doing the show, but literally there isn't. I can't for the life of me figure out, why this is doing this. It's rather frustrating because, you know, it does. Yeah. It does kind of make you feel like, well, so, you know, people are directing stuff at you and trying to throw you off your game and trying to get your mess up your show and radio show. And honestly, folks, that's all these people have. They can't combat me on facts ever or the information I put out. They either have, it's one or two things. It's either personal attacks or these electronic attacks, or hell, they've even done psychic attacks, you know, against me on air before. Lee Rogers too's had that happen to him. I mean, these guys, that's the nature of their game. Everything they do is dirty. Everything they do is about playing dirty. I mean, these are spineless cowards we're talking about here. You know, that kill children and molest children and, you know, or pedophiles. These guys are they have no care about anything. So that's what they have to resort to is, messing with, you know, people's radio streams and websites and all this stuff. Well, you know, it just goes to show you. I know that we got the bastards on the run now. And, you know, expect more of this. You know, that's all I can say now that the movie's done and it's coming out. And all of you that pre-ordered the Cigarette Volume 2, you should be receiving your DVDs in the next 2 weeks or so. Next 2-3 weeks, depending on how long. I don't know. I just can't gauge how long it's going to take them to press the DVDs and all that stuff. But as soon as they're here, as soon as they get to me, they'll be shipped right out to you. And we're going to put up, we'll have up the sales, the regular sales, full-blown sales for the DVDs and Blu-rays for the Cigarette Volume 2. We'll have that, we'll start that up on Thursday. But everybody that pre-ordered is going to get their stuff, you know, at least a week before anybody that orders from Thursday on. And please allow 2 to 4 weeks on all deliveries at all times, because you just don't know with the mail system how long it's going to take stuff to get there. But everybody that pre-ordered is going to get some bonus stuff. We're going to have some different packages for how you can buy the DVDs and the Blu-rays. We'll have the DVDs just by itself. We'll have the Blu-rays just by themselves, and then we'll also have the what I'll be calling the deluxe research package. And everybody that pre-ordered, there are people who didn't pre-order who, you know, made donations and got co-producer credits in the film. You guys will get those too, so don't worry about that. We're going to have the deluxe research package. And so all the pre-orders are going to get the deluxe research package. That'll have either the CD or the Blu-ray, whatever, whatever package you choose. It'll be more, of course, for the Blu-ray. And it'll also have the soundtrack disc with all the music on it. And it'll also have an extra data DVD, a research disc. It's going to have files. It's going to have, you know, pictures, all the, like, a bunch of the different pictures that were in the film. It's going to have, you know, the extended clips. It's going to have the full 45-minute Georgetown Jesuit clip that you saw in hour one, or the whole thing if you've seen it now. It's up on our pay-per-view at the website, theglobalreality.com, www. Make sure I say that so I don't piss anybody off. You go there, theglobalreality.com, go to the documentaries tab, scroll down to where it says Cigarette Volume 2, click on that, and the pay-per-view thing is there for $5. You can watch it, and it's still up there. What we'll end up having is we'll have the deluxe research package. I wanted to give, you know, I wanted to try, you guys that pre-order are already going to get the deluxe packages anyway. You know, you're going to get that for free. So, it's really beyond me to really do much more than that. But, to show my appreciation here, I wanted to give everybody free Blu-rays, or give them the choice to have the Blu-ray if you paid for the DVD on the pre-order. I can't afford to do that, guys. I really can't. These Blu-rays cost an arm and a leg, and I make very little on them anyway, even charging more. What we're going to do is, in lieu of that, we had about 30 people, roughly about 30 people pre-order. But I can't, you know, I'm only getting, you know, I'm getting a small amount of Blu-rays anyway, so I can't really get. So what I'm going to do is, the first 10 people who pre-ordered the Cigarette Volume 2 that send an email to my email, globalrealityshow@gmail.com, with the title, the, you know, the heading, what it was, the email, Secret Right to Blu-ray. Send me your name. If you've got, you know, a copy of your receipt, that helps. Really, all I need is your name and address, and I can find it on my records, because I have a list here with all the pre-order names on them, all your lovely names and addresses, and you guys are getting the top number one first priority on all this stuff, and because you guys are part of part of what helped make this happen, and so I want to thank everybody for that. Also, another person I want to thank very much for this, for all this now. somebody who I wouldn't have been able to do this, make this film without his help. Flat out, that's it. And I really felt that best way I could return the favor was to work my butt off on this film. And boy, I did, man. I went like 3-4 days sometimes without sleeping. Scott, our good buddy Scott, you see him in the chat room, Monochrome in the chat room. Give it up for him. Monochrome in the chat room. Scott, let's give him a round of applause. He came in at the executive producer level on this film. And so he got his name in the credits as executive producer here because, I wouldn't have been able to get the computer or the camera or any of the DVDs and Blu-rays up without him. And he's been a gigantic help. And I'm honored to work with him and to know him. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for his help. I am beyond anything. There's no way, shape, or form this film got made solely because of him. And it's not a big part of him. The rest of you out there as well. We had other people donate too. I don't want to downplay what they did because they did a lot too. And everybody that pre-ordered all this. Just all of you, everybody. Everybody out there that donated. If you donated a dollar in the past 2 years since I've been doing this, if you donated $5, you've been hanging out in the chat room, spreading the word about my films, you know, even though maybe you hadn't donated or anything. Hey, you know, thank you to you, everybody. Every one of you guys, something I've been trying to do for the longest time here. And I felt like with this film that we finally got to do that. And I think that that's a kind of a groundbreaking model is that all of you out there had a stake in this. You guys made this happen. You know, it's you guys. And I think that this film is going to do some damage. I think that this is, beyond any shadow of a doubt. I mean, I make the case here and show the evidence of the entire truth movement, patriot movement, what have you, being a gigantic psychological operation. From the beginning, ongoing, multiple decade operation, folks. And that's definitely something that, regardless of what happens, you know, it's both of those films, Secret Volume 1 and 2, it's something that, nobody can take away from me. I mean, we've explored some topics in these films that have been taboo. And when I made Volume 1, I didn't know why they were taboo. And the process of making Volume 2 taught me why. Now I know why these things were taboo. Now I know why people told me to shut up about this group. Now I know why people told me not to look into it. Now I know why people that I respected and admired when I would go and try to show them this information because I cared about them, because I thought that this was about the truth. And I thought maybe, you know, if I found something substantial, if they were a researcher, they would want to be onto that too. But I found out that that's not the case. But now I know why. You know, you're not going to go from having Howard Phillips on your show to, talking about the CMP if Howard Phillips and company and Larry Pratt and all these guys is what your bread and butter is, you know. But, it's not too late. I want to make that clear to the people out there, you know, it's not too late. If you've been got by these people, just come out and admit you've been got. If you got caught up in the patriot movement, truth movement stuff, you know what? And you bought into it, just come up, just admit it, man. All you got to do is, get on your radio show or make a YouTube video or website and just say, hey, you know what? Here's the evidence. I looked at this on Second Review. I got, and I want to say that right now. No shame in that. In fact, that's the honorable thing to do. What is not honorable is knowing that this stuff is true and going on still, engaging in these groups and everything else. Maybe you got sucked into the white nationalist thing, you know. A lot of people in the truth movement, patriot movement, have got sucked into that. It's not too late to renounce all that stuff. And look, I'm not even saying don't be proud of who you are or be proud of your race or your nationality or anything else. I'm not saying that at all, but you have to understand these groups like the white nationalists and the rest of this stuff have ties directly. I mean, these guys are part of the operation. And so that's the big problem. That's why we've got to point this stuff out. That's why we've got to make sure that people know that most of the preordained groups and things of that nature are already pre-designed, waiting for you to just fall into. It's a trap that's been set for you. But I just want to, again, thank everybody who... I want to thank everybody who out there who just everybody, Scott, everybody who made this happen, man. I love you guys so much. I'm really proud of this film. I think it's going to be a super duper great, man. The Blu-ray looks fucking ridiculous, man. It's a huge, I'm actually doing some re-encoding right now, but, just a quantum leap in the difference between the Blu-ray and the DVD, man, huge. God. That's just striking. The backgrounds, everything's just crisper. And I was talking to Lee Rogers tonight. I hadn't talked to him in a while, but he's going to buy a few copies of the DVD to sell on his radio show and whatnot. And I was told him to send me his address this week so I could send him an advanced copy of the film so he could go ahead and watch it in its entirety and whatnot. And so he'll probably want to talk about it on his show and everything. I know he's anxious to see it just like everybody else is. So I asked him, hey, do you want me to send you a DVD or a Blu-ray? And he said, oh, just to send a regular DVD. I don't have a Blu-ray player. And I said, you know what? I wouldn't either. But they're like $50 now. So I had to have one to be able to test DVDs and stuff on our Blu-rays on when I was going to be making the movie. And I told Lee they were $50. They're like $50. I'm not even talking about Black Friday bullshit either. I'm talking about like regularly $50-$60. I think mine was like, $50 at Walmart or something like that. I think I even got a deal on it, 'cause it was marked less online. When I went in the store, it was marked more, and I told them and they looked it up and they were like, oh yeah, you're right. And we'll give you extra $10 off. So yeah, you can get them really cheap. But Lee was just great, because Lee was like, man, he was just blown away by the fact that, they've come down that cheap now. Because, I mean, it's amazing. Technology is continuing to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And that tells you that the cheaper it gets, the more sophisticated it gets, and the smaller it gets, the more undetectable it gets, and the more dangerous it gets. Quantum leap jump in the quality between the regular, but the Blu-rays are going to be limited edition. So, but we're going to have different packages. Like I said, you'll be able to get the research package if you want that, it'll have the bonus disc and all that stuff. As far as the, and I did finalize the cut, final cut of the film clocks in at exactly 2 hours and 48 minutes. And I got the cut finished with the credits and got a little stuff tightened up. I thought that I was going to go back and add more stuff to the film. And I realized that, because I've been working on this film for so long, that I really did most of the editing. I mean, it's kind of hard to describe the way that I wrote the script and everything. It was like the editing was already done. You know what I mean? There wasn't like I had to go back and like, okay, this is good, I'm keeping this, I'm cutting this. It wasn't really like that. Nothing for the film was prepared. Everything was that went in the film was prepared. So it had to be prepared individually by, I had to do a voiceover and I had to get the pictures and get the videos, create the backgrounds, all that stuff. So there wasn't really anything that I was going there and cutting out. It really was just a matter of making sure that I got everything in there I wanted to get in there. And of course, this is going to be as in the last one I'm going to do. I'll probably end up doing another film. I'll probably end up doing another volume 3 at some point. It won't be something I'll take 2 years to do. It'll be something that'll be, done in a few months or something like that, just to get some other stuff in there. But Lee Rogers, I tell you what, he's working on a film on these guys too. He's been working on it for a while. Phony Patriots. I mean, he fucking said this thing's going to be like fucking 5 or 6 hours long. Jesus Christ, man. Woo, you better give these motherfuckers some no-dos and a fucking coffee of the month club for free with this thing. Seriously. Break that bitch up into shifts, man. You have to watch it in shifts. That's my thing is that, we need that though. I mean, I'm glad Lee's doing that. Those just aren't the kind of films I like to make. But I think Lee's probably going to end up filling in a lot of the blanks, a lot of stuff that I didn't. But, I like to make my films a certain way, and I like to also leave some things for you to find on your own. You know, I like people to have those, you know, because if you really, really care about this stuff and you really care about the information, you really care about the truth, and you really care about finding all this stuff out, then you're going to go look into this stuff. You're not just going to take my word or Lee Rogers' word or anybody else's word on it, because again, you know, if you do that, then you're just falling back into that trap again. And the whole point is to get away from these traps and get away from falling into these same old things that are set for you. So, you know, I think that people, I like to make things, you know, give people those aha moments, you know. That's one of the biggest things for me. And God, I had a million of those while I was making this film. But those are valuable, you know, they feel amazing. I mean, they're better than any drug or sex or anything else. You just, seriously, because all your, you, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You get like an adrenaline rush, man, or I do. Maybe I'm just a freak. I don't know. Yeah, I know I'm, well, no, I know I'm a freak, but what I'm saying is maybe I'm a freak and that's, I'm the only person that does it, but like, no, seriously. I mean, I get off on it. I mean, like it's an adrenaline rush, man. It's like jumping out of a fucking airplane at 30,000 feet. I mean, I'm sitting here looking and I'm reading stuff and I come across a tidbit or a, you know, a rabbit trail, and I find this connection. I go, oh my fucking God, look at this. I should have known. Look at this connection. So-and-so's connected to this guy. Oh my God. If that's true, that means this. Oh, look at that. You know, those are valuable things in the process of learning, in the process of being your own researcher and growing and finding all these things out. And I like to, you know, I like to leave some of those things in there. There's stuff that I intentionally left out of the film because I thought it was overused. You know, I talked about that last week. You know, I didn't put Bill Cooper in there. You know, Colin Jones' names on 9/11, or you know, Jones's Y2K broadcast, or something like that. I'm trying to stray away from a lot of the stuff that people have pointed out quite a bit, and really stick to my to what I'm trying to present here and what my research has shown. The films always take the shape they want to take. That's the thing that I found. I mean, this is my third full-length film now. My God, every time it's like, it doesn't matter how, you know, how well you lay your plan for what you want your film to be about. And again, maybe I'm the freak and maybe this just happens to me. And if I am, you know, I don't think I'm the only, it'd be impossible for me to be the only person this happens to when you make a film, but I'm thankful that it does happen to me. And it just seems like, you know, I'll have a plan or an idea. And what's amazing is that this film, the sections of it, how it flows and everything, it's identical to the idea that I always had for it from the very beginning. But what is amazing is that the subsequent research that took place while making the film caused the film to take a completely different direction that I didn't ever intend, yet all the parts that I wanted to be in there and had planned to be in there are still in the exact same spots that I'd planned them to be. But I didn't have the context and the glue that holds it all together. It's just amazing that it worked like that. But then later I did get the glue. And that is that, you know, that was the big learning thing for me. I mean, I knew these guys were, you know, that we had infiltrators and, you know, I knew that we had people that were associating, you know, a lot of guilt by association stuff going on. I knew we had a lot of that. But I was, I guess, either oblivious or unaware or had not seen enough of the evidence yet to know that, my God, it's one big, gigantic psychological operation. Jones, the Truth Movement, the Patriot Movement, all of it. One gigantic psychological operation, and I was not aware. I've heard people say it. We've all heard people say it, but where's the proof? It's easy to say Alex Jones is a psyop, or whoever's a psyop, and this is a psyop. And that's another one of those terms that's overused. She'd be buried in a graveyard of overused expressions in the Truth Movement, along with false flag and posse comitatus. I don't know, but there's all these overused phrases. But seriously, it's just an amazing thing that. You know, again, people just all the time, this is a psyop, that's a psyop. But no, it literally actually is. This is coming down from the highest levels, coming down from the Pentagon, National Security Agency. They're using these, you know, financiers, big Jewish financiers to fund these operations, and they're setting up front companies. You got to understand, folks, Alex Jones's model, the whole GCN model, from Davon Klyson to, you know, like the Power Hour. I mean, that whole show from forever has been a big infomercial. Wonder drugs and wonder creams and wonder pills and all this stuff. That model of the infomercial model and to sell, you know, miracle products was 100%. This is an absolute admitted fact. It was a 100% created ideology. In the thing that was spun up by Adnan, I'm going to say his name right, Adnan Khashoggi, Saudi arms dealer. And Jones can spin those yarns all day long about, oh, his Genesis is not the same. But of course, we know that it absolutely is the same thing. And you'll see that in the film. But again, you can, if you want to see the first cut of the film. Actually, the final cut's not really that much different from what is up online right now. What you'll have in the DVD and the Blu-ray is the credits, a couple extra parts in there, and the Jonesy part that I forgot to put in there, and then the rest are just, you know, I changed some of the pictures, I changed some of the overlays, you know, turned the music down in some spots because I don't have any speakers for this Mac yet, and so. I was just running off of the little internal speakers, which I've never done making a film, and it worked pretty good. But you know, once I got it on the surround sound system, I had to go in there and adjust it and turn some stuff down, turn some stuff up. So it has all that done to it. But if you want to watch, you know, about a 99.9% completed version of that film, Secret Volume 2. It is still up there at our website. I had a couple of different versions. I had to revert back to the original one that we had. And we seem to have some problems initially with some people. I think people's problem was that they were pausing it and trying to forward the video. And what was every time they try to do that, it would just negate their view. You got to play it and not touch it. If you got to go pee, you better just have a laptop so you can take it with you. But I gave you up to 3 viewings per one, so that should be ample. But we haven't had anybody else had... have problems with it after the first day, but the second one that I'd put up, I had to have Manhydra take that one down, put the other one, the older one back up, because everything was great on it. Sounded good. Didn't have to pay anything up front like the other one did. You know, all this stuff, that, like, oh, they take a percentage. Okay. They take 40%. So I was okay. I'll bump it up a dollar. That's no big deal. And then I started noticing that I got 3 people bought views with that secondary player that I was running. And I started noticing that it wasn't going directly into my PayPal account, even though it asked me to enter my PayPal information, asked me how I wanted to be paid and all that stuff. And I was like, well, what's the deal here? You know, because with the other one, it's instantaneous. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I looked and looked and looked for hours. And lo and behold, I come to find out that it said, oh, by the way, you don't get any money until you get at least $150 in your account, and you're going to get that $150 2 months after you hit $150. I'm sitting there going, man, I'm charging $6 a piece. And we might get, you know, 10 or 20 people to view it. Now that's, you know, that's $50-$60. Well, $50-$60 may not seem like a lot of money to you, but it is definitely a lot of money to me because I don't squander anything that we get in here for, I mean, everything's going back into this. So you bet your ass I penny pinch when it comes. I mean, with everything. But they, you know, oh yeah, well, we can't pay you. So you're telling me that the money that I did earn is going to sit there and you're going to draw interest off of it. I mean, what a scam. You know, I see all these scams that people run just from things that I find like that, you know, that I come across. Man, it's unbelievable. Anyway, we're glad you could be with us here tonight. We've got a lot of crazy news to discuss with you here. If you'd like to send an email into the show tonight or anytime, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And love to have emails from you over there. Trying to see if I have it. I don't know if I have any to read tonight. I got so much news, I don't want to even do mail tonight. But globalrealityshow@gmail.com. I'll do my best to get into the mail later on in the week. Again, theglobalreality.com is my website. This is our fundraising week. We have to raise our tipping banner goal there to pay the bills by Thursday. So if you can help us reach that goal and help us stay alive, TheGlobalReality.com. There, use the chipping banner. Donate button is there if you want to use that for other donations towards whatever for us here to help us continue to stay alive and continue to do this. It's getting exciting, and I Scott, he asked me, he sent me an email, asked me, what's next? Where do you go from here? All the rest of this stuff. And I'm constantly thinking about that and constantly thinking about new ways. To be honest with you, this film represents a big, whether it's apparent to everybody out there or not, just this film itself represents a whole big bunch of that, a whole big bunch of a change in a lot of things and the way that I've approached things, whether I put it out, that whole idea of putting a value and putting a worth on what you do, because I've just been too quick before to just, spend all this money on these films and then just give it away because I give it to people bitching and pissing and moaning. But not giving into that bitching and pissing and moaning this time is, I think it's going to work out really good as far as, people being able to see the film and the way it's supposed to be seen. That's really the most important thing to me. And that's why I made the decision. I wanted to have this film on Blu-ray, and I'm glad we were able to do that. And we're going to have Matthew Warlick. He's a friend of mine here in Dallas. He did the original artwork for the Seeking Right Volume 1, and I loved the work that he did, and a lot of people out there love the work that he did on Volume 1, so I hit him up, and he's going to be, hopefully he's going to be having that done real soon, so that's all I'm waiting on. I'm done with everything else. It's all done, baby. It's in the bag. Man, oh man, oh man. And I got backups upon backups, and I got backups spread around all over fucking, everywhere. Never can be too safe when it comes to this stuff. We have, I hope it's on all skipping and jumping around on you guys tonight. Hopefully you can hear me okay, but if not, the archive will be super duper good and won't have any problems, so you can definitely check that out. It'll repeat right after the show is done tonight. Let's get into some news here. Crazy, crazy, crazy fucking news. I'd rather have some crazy fucking news than some bullshit I don't even want to talk about, which a lot of this news has been teetering on lately. Seems like I just saw something in my mail, though, that was a question that I wanted to ask. Or I want to answer for somebody. Where was it? I guess I don't have one. Yep, crazy, crazy stuff here in this news. Only a totalitarian New World Order can save us now, says Naomi Klein. Oh, wow. She's just proven what a worthless cunt she is, isn't she? Now that we didn't already know that. No logo author Naomi Klein has a solution to climate change, and it goes like this. Punitive taxation, massive wealth redistribution, the abolishment of free trade and free markets, a state-enforced end to the cult of shopping, the whole to be supervised by a new world order of selfless Illuminati. I can't even believe I'm reading this. Naomi Klein's openly calling for a new world order of selfless Illuminati to rule the planet? Even the people in charge aren't really, that's not necessarily true. Read Carol Quigley's stuff. He comes right out with it, but not all of them come right out with it, Congratulations, Naomi Klein, for showing your true colors and coming out and with you for your full support of the one world system here. I'm sure you'll get a green rating and get access to all that the New World Order has to offer. It's still not going to make you any prettier, you dumb, ugly hoe. My God. I mean, seriously, traitor status for her. when it's all said and done, and we take we reclaim humanity away from the controllers, definitely she's going to be on the high on the hanging tree list. If it weren't so scary, it'd be almost funny the way that the lefty Canadian activists, on the basis of no evidence whatsoever, declares that the time has come to strip the human race of all its hard-won freedoms in order to save the planet from a non-existent problem. Unfortunately, Klein means it, and her audience takes her seriously. Just read the comments below her screed. I can't say enough good things about this article. It's a manifesto for the next 100 years. Corporate capitalism is doomed by the immutable fact of finite resources. It will require planning and sharing to sustain civilization in the future, which is heretical thinking to the boardrooms of elite capitalists. Okay, and the rationale for doing all this stuff would be exactly what, Naomi? Some new devastating proof you've managed to unearth, perhaps showing once and for all that the measurements are wrong and global warming didn't stop in 1998? A dazzling refutation of Svensmark's cosmic ray theory? Surprising new data showing that contrary to false consciousness promoted by the running dog lackey capitalist pigs who write her history books, totalitarian planning regimens are the kind you advocate, in fact, brought nothing but bounty, happiness, and environmental loveliness to Stalin's Soviet Union, Hitler's Germany, Mao's China, Pol Pot's Cambodia, and Kim Jong-un's North Korea. All Naomi can manage by a way of justification is this. Before I go any further, let me be absolutely clear. As 97% of the world's climate scientists attest, the Heartlanders are completely wrong about the science. The heat-trapping gases released into the atmospheres through the burning of fossil fuels. Ah! Oh my God, I knew she was going to say fossil fuels. Can you show us the science behind these alleged fossil fuels, that they're actually made of fossils? Yeah. Are already causing temperatures to increase if we are not on a radically different energy path by the end of this decade. While she is, I'd have to say that Naomi Klein, you are definitely our winner for the November Suck Satan's Cock Award. Oh, yeah. The Suck Satan's Cock Award. We only give that away to certain people.
Suck Satan's Cock, Naomi. Get that big black scaly worm pecker down your gut. Suck that shit, bitch. Yeah, Satan likes it.
I mean, it's just absolute. Oh, yeah. So we want an Illuminati and a New World Order. And well, maybe you didn't get this memo. Maybe you didn't hear about this news article, Naomi. Here's one for you. This is going here to love. This is a hoot. ClimateGate scientists did. Big bold letters did. Collude with government officials to hide research that didn't fit their apocalyptic global warming. The Daily Mail. Not the Tinfoil Times, Naomi. I'm sorry. More than 5,000 documents have been leaked online purporting to be the correspondence of climate scientists at the University of East Anglia who were previously accused of massaging evidence of man-made climate change. Following on from the original ClimateGate emails of 2009, the new package appears to show systematic suppression of evidence and even publication of reports that scientists knew to be based on flawed approaches. And not only do the emails paint a picture of scientists manipulating data, government employees of the Department of the Environment, Food, and Rural Affairs are also implicated. One message appeared to show a member of DEFRA staff telling colleagues working on climate science to give the government a strong message. The emails paint clear a picture of scientists selectively using data and colluding with politicians to misuse scientific information. Well, Climactic Research Institute, that's what they do. A lot of these think tanks and these peer-reviewed studies, they're made up of individuals who have degrees, who know all the ins and outs of whatever particular topic it is, and you can go and pay these groups and these think tanks and these climate research institutes, allegedly, thousands and millions of dollars. And in exchange for that, they will give you whatever you want to back up whatever your particular own theory is that you're trying to sell someone on. Now, that may be something as small as trying to sell, you know, the board of a company on an idea for a new product. You know, on the microcosmic level, or on the macrocosmic level, that could be trying to sell an entire population on the idea of something. But it's a fact, folks. It's the, you know, it's well, they don't talk about it on TV. And if you're not involved in it, you don't know that it goes on, but it absolutely goes on. All these things that you think are peer-reviewed studies or scientific research are nothing more than information that people cooked up and presented in a way that it uses so much scientific jargon that it's, you know, seems, I mean, good example of that, you know, the magic bullet theory. But that's exactly what this is. Absolutely, they've covered this up. Absolutely, they've lied about climate change. And I believe it's because the climate change is going on is being caused by forces that, if they had to explain to us what was causing it, whether it be, you know, the cycles of the sun, galactic alignment, or whether it be, you know, catastrophic events or anything of that nature, we just don't know. But I definitely think it is plausible for them to be aware. That's what I believe HARP and all this stuff, you know, studying the aurora, studying the ozone layer, pushing holes in it. That's what they were trying to do for all this time. They knew this stuff was coming, but they had to create a mitigation technology for it, so they could either mitigate or enhance and make worse. And it certainly appears that that's what's happened. Let's see what else we have here. Man, oh, man, oh, man, it's ridiculous shit. I got to talk about this one. I mean, what timing for this? I don't know who this lawyer is, but I need to get a hold of this lawyer, and I need to get him a copy of this new film, because this is just mind-blowingly synchronistic. This would be coming out right now. And those of you that have seen The Secret Life Volume 2 already know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have just seen the first hour know what I'm talking about. Unbelievable stuff, folks. Listen to this. RFK assassin Sirhan alleges conspiracy theory and seeks release from prison. Attorneys for Sirhan, the man who assassinated Robert Kennedy in 1968, have asked that he be released from prison, alleging that he was a victim of mind control and never actually shot Kennedy. My God. Oh, this just blows it all open, doesn't it? I mean, because they're coming out with the stuff now and just admitting he was under mind control. And they're saying that he has that. I mean, they've put him under. He has no recollection of this. He thinks he was out shooting at targets at a target range. Boy, that sure does make that stuff in the film. You know, Edward Butler, my God. Edward Butler was the guy that set up the interviews in New Orleans for Lee Harvey Oswald. They depict that in the Oliver Stone JFK film, where he's on TV and they're debating, and he says, somebody says to Oswald, or Gary Oldman in the movie, you know, you're a communist. And he says, no, Mr. Bringer, I'm not a communist. I'm a Marxist-Leninist. And the night of November 22nd, 1963, they played that clip over and over again on the nightly news as their, you know, supposed proof that Oswald was a communist. And of course, that's why he killed Kennedy. But what's interesting is the guy that set that up, Ed Butler, also happened to be one of the, according to Anthony J. Hilder's testimony, there happened to be three or four people in the room the night he had his press conference, the night Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And of course, Anthony J. Hilder, Alex Jones' mentor, I interviewed him, just happened to be there. And just happened to be, you know, consulting and learning about hypnotism and admittedly hanging out at the Rosicrucian Center where Sirhan was hanging out. Just days before, I mean, that's admitted to, just days before the Kennedy assassination. I mean, Hilder admitted on my show that he was there at the Rosicrucian Center just, you know, in the days before that. This could be crucial evidence, folks. The stuff that I put together and stuff like this, you know, there's a pretty good chance here this lawyer don't know fucking jack diddly squat one about this shit. I don't know, man. Something tells me I should try to get a copy of the DVD or just that part to this lawyer. So let's continue this article. I mean, this could blow this whole thing open, folks. We may start seeing some people implicated in this. We may see people like Anthony J. Hilder implicated in this. Wouldn't that be something? Less than a week after the anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, Sirhan's lawyers have presented their own Kennedy conspiracy theory, alleging that in Sirhan's 1969 trial, the court ignored evidence that there were actually two shooters in RFK's assassination. Sirhan's legal team is also arguing that the revolver found on Sirhan was not responsible for the gunshots that killed Kennedy. Though the practice of hypno-programming and mind control is hardly new, the public has been shielded from the darker side of the practice. Sirhan's court filings say the average person is unaware that hypnosis can and is used to induct antisocial conduct in humans. Attorneys William F. Pepper and Laurie D. Dussick argue that Sirhan at least deserves a new trial, alleging that the original 1969 proceeding were marred by fraud when the court allowed a substitute bullet to be used in place of the real bullet removed from Kennedy's neck. In addition, Sirhan's attorneys have recently discovered audio recordings provide evidence that as many as 13 gunshots were fired at the time of the Kennedy assassination. Now, in my interview with Anthony J. Hilder that's in The Secret Volume 2, he says that he was standing about 150 feet away from Bobby Kennedy when he was shot, but yet he didn't hear any gunshots going off. Now, how in the fuck? Now, listen, folks, inside, indoors, in a small contained space, indoors, anywhere. If you're 150 feet away indoors from a firearm being discharged, and in a firearm being discharged multiple times, upwards of maybe 13 times, you got to be deaf, blind, and dumb to not hear at least one of those shots going off. If you're 150 feet away, something's rotten in Denmark on Hilder, man. I didn't want it. You know, he used to be a hero of mine back in the day too. But folks, I'm not unconvinced. He didn't have something to do with it. Listen to, you know, when you watch my film, really listen to his voice, listen to what he says, and watch how he never once denies any of it. He creates his own narrative to why he was there and what he was doing there. But you never once hear him deny that he had involvement in it. And those statements that he made about, you know, having one, two, three Kennedy brothers killed in a row would be, you know, wonderful. This is wild stuff. The attorneys further assert that Sirhan was hypno-programmed to be a diversion for the real assassin and allege that Sirhan would be easily blamed for the assassination because he is an Arab. Sirhan is 67 years old now. He's a Christian Palestinian born in Jerusalem whose parents brought him and his siblings to America in the 1950s. Sirhan was an involuntary participant in the crimes being committed because he was subjected to sophisticated hypno-programming and memory implantation techniques, which rendered him unable to consciously control his thoughts and actions at the times, at the time the crimes were being committed, the court paper said. The California Attorney General's Office has so far declined to comment on Sirhan's court findings. Sirhan has long claimed that he cannot remember the actual assassination. Harvard Medical School hypno-programming expert Daniel Brown recently worked with Sirhan, claiming to successfully help him remember the assassination for the first time. Brown says Sirhan claims that due to mind control, Sirhan believed he was at a gun range shooting at circular targets. That's classic. That's classic what they do. They implant that you're, you know, in your head, you believe you're, it's like a dream. You believe you're acting out a dream. They put blinders on you. I mean, it's very powerful stuff. And the fact that, you know, here's Hilder with a guy who was, you know, in charge of putting out, helping in the propaganda that sold Oswald as being the patsy. He just happens to be one of the three or four people in the room. And he just happens to be a member of the John Birch Society. And he, you know, two times in a row, he's there with a hand in the goings on of the assassination of two Kennedy brothers. And the fact that Hilder admits that he learned, you know, he went to Gil Boyne and learned, do some research into Gil Boyne, man. Gil Boyne was a big famous Hollywood hypnotist. You know, and Jones is going out there to California and hanging out with these people, man. I think Jones very well could be one of them. I very well think he could be a mind controller. There's a clip in my film, or a few clips actually, where he appears to be under mind control, in my opinion. I'm gonna do you even one better. I don't have any way to prove this, so I didn't really say this in the film, but I don't know, man. He very well could be. It just seems weird to me. We don't even know that Alex Jones's parents or his actual parents. We don't know that he was adopted. I mean, he's got an Asian sister that was adopted. How do we know he wasn't adopted? Him and Jeff Gannon are about the same age. I don't know, man. He's telling all those stories about, you know, getting catcalled to the Bohemian Grove and how did he get in there in the first place. I mean, and that, oh crap, that's what I meant to get in the film. That was the one thing, that picture. I wanted to get in that picture of him where he's dressed in drag. Jones is dressed in drag. I want to get that in the film. I didn't get that in there because that's unbelievable. The stuff that I dug up on that, because that actually, there's actually a book called Welcome to Jesus Land or something like that. That book is taken from, and I actually went and did some digging on the people who made that, and it connects back to these, you know, right-wing Christian weird fundy groups, like they're connected to Focus on the Family and other stuff like that. It's completely crazy, but this stuff with Sirhan coming out, you know, that stuff about Hilder and all that, so that could be some very, very, damning evidence. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Oh, bear with me. I'm going through here looking at some, trying to see what else I've got on the mailbag. Not the mailbag, the news bag. God, there's just so much I don't want to go to next. Oh, anthrax isn't scary at all compared to this. Man-made flu virus with potential to wipe out many millions if it ever escaped is created in a research lab. Now, my God. Folks, we already know. I mean, you can look into this stuff yourself, but I mean, there are the amount of things, diseases that have been man-made and alleged. I mean, everything. AIDS. I mean, shit like Lyme disease and all this stuff originated in a lab. And now they're saying that they've created in a lab, man-made, a virus with the potential to wipe out millions of humans. And boy, we hope it never escapes from a lab. I mean, my God, I've seen enough movies to smell a setup. Oh, we sure hope. I mean, what always happens? You know, it's like, you know, it's like the chick, it's like in a porno movie, you know, the chick's taking a shower or something. And she's like, oh, I'm so soapy and wet. And oh, I'm just so hungry for a pizza. I wish a pizza boy would bring me a pizza right now. Ding dong. Hello, you ordered a pizza. Yes, I'm here to serve you the sausage pizza. Mm. You know, like, oh, how convenient, you know? She's soapy and wet and hungry for pizza, and there just happens to be a big stud pizza delivery guy show up, and guess what? He just automatically showed up to your house with a hard-on. You didn't have to give him a stiffy or anything. Already had it waiting for you. Same kind of scenario here. Oh, well, you know, we've got this thing that could wipe out millions, and we created it, and hopefully it won't escape from the lab, but you know, no promises. We make mistakes. We're human, too. I mean, it's ridiculous. Fucking circus. A group of scientists is pushing to publish research about how they created a man-made flu virus that could potentially wipe out civilization. Well, that's great. That tells you that's your tax dollars at work right there. Good to know that while we're sleeping in the comfort of our beds at night, these guys are hard at work wiping out, figuring out new ways to wipe us all out. And you know, it's not even so much that they want to wipe us all out. It's just the fact that they want to rub it in our face all the time that they could. Because think about it. They need us, folks. A kingdom ain't shit if you don't have people to be a king over. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, that goes back to the whole Jonesy thing and him fear-mongering everything. These, you know, yeah, eugenics operations and depopulation operations are an ongoing part of this. And short of a complete wiping out of all the tentacles, and good luck with that, of this, and good luck trying to wipe out all the tentacles. But short of that, you're not going to change that. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing is that nuclear weapons and, you know, all this shit. They want to make damn sure that you know that they have the power to wipe you and everybody else out with a blink of an eye if they wanted to. That's all it is for them. And yes, they allow leaks, they allow things to happen, things to get out there so it'll kill small numbers, but I mean, it's a power trip for them. The ability to create something that could destroy the entire planet Earth, and they've done, I mean, we've got enough satellites up there with plutonium in them orbiting Earth right now to wipe out every living thing on this planet. No problem. They said when they were creating the first atomic bomb that there was a possibility that they could have set the atmosphere on fire while detonating this and wiping out the planet. And guess what? It didn't stop them. They did it anyway. But they get off on that. It's a sick fantasy for them. These guys will literally put billions of research dollars into weapons programs, into viruses, bioweapons, whatever it may be. They will literally put billions of dollars into something only to put it on the shelf, folks, just so they can run articles like this, so you'll run around and shit yourself in fear and panic. You know, I mean, goddamn, you know Jonesy's going to go off on this one for the next 6 years. Folks, I have the documents. They are admitting they are creating man-made flus to wipe all of you out, folks. All of us, folks, are going to kill us. But again, that's what they want. And then there you go. It sells the Jones model, gets him more to perpetuate the fear more. But you got to understand, this is exactly what they want. They want you to be so scared of them. And that's what Jonesy reinforces. You know, reinforcing the fear, reinforcing this idea that you need to be, oh, they're so powerful. And they, you know, I mean, that's all he does. How evil they are, describing babies being eaten and maggots and all this stuff. You know, it's just completely unnecessary garbage. If any of you out there are in fear of what the New World Order or whoever, the Illuminati or the power structure will do to you, then I suggest you turn off the radio, turn off the DVD player, turn off all this stuff now. Forget you ever heard about me, this radio show, or any other show like it, or any other information like it, and go back to ostrich land. Because, you know, I'm just speechless. I don't even know what to say. Flabbergasted by this stuff. You know, when you get me to a point where I just can't say anything, I'm flabbergasted with something. God, that's unbelievable. One of the prosecutors who investigated the Iran-Contra affair, this Associated Press, concluded two decades ago that neither Ronald Reagan nor George W. Herbert Walker Bush was criminally liable in the scandal that tarnished the presidencies of both men, according to reports made public Friday. Associate Independent Counsel Christian Mixter reached that conclusion in 1991, even though he found that President Reagan was briefed in advance about every weapon shipment sold to Iran and the arms for hostages deals in 85 and 86. Amazing this will be coming out right when my movie's coming out, too. In a separate report on Bush, Mixter wrote that the then vice president of a committee that recommended mining the harbors of Nicaragua in 1983. Mixer's reports were obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request to the National Security Archive, a nonprofit research group, which released them on the 25th anniversary of the Iran-Contra scandal. At a November 25th, 1986 White House news conference, Reagan and then Attorney General Edwin Meese, by the way, he was a Council for National Policy member, disclosed that money from the arms sales to Iran had been diverted to the Contra guerrillas fighting the leftist government of Nicaragua after Congress had cut off military aid to the rebels. Mixer concluded it would be difficult to prosecute Reagan for violating the Arms Export Control Act, mandating congressional notification of arms transfers through a third country. Israel, in the case of the Reagan White House's secret arms sales to Iran in 1985, the reason, said Mixer, was that Meese had told Reagan the National Security Act could be invoked to supersede the Export Control Act. These guys, you know, all these ways around it. So, but this is a very interesting article. Just, you know, not really a lot of stuff I'm going to read the rest of, but just goes on to, you know, oh yeah, Reagan and Bush, blah, blah, blah. Well, they were not criminally liable. They weren't implicated. Right. Well, of course not. They're puppets. They're front men anyway. I mean, you understand the names of the people who say go, and the names of the people who give the green light to, you know, mass murders, coup d'etats, assassinations, hostile takeovers, whatever it may be. They don't ever put their name down on a piece of paper or you know, put onto a computer or any sort of a record, you know, I so-and-so, you know, the Black Pope, or I so-and-so Rockefeller, or I so-and-so Rothschild, or whatever, you know, hereby declare that I want, you know, some groups to fund Contras and fund rebels, blah, blah, blah. They just don't do it. Doesn't happen like that. But the front men are who the public naturally blame anyway. So what they're trying to do is because they, you know, look, I mean, we've got a tollway here in Dallas, the George Bush tollway. We've got I think there's a Ronald Reagan expressway somewhere around here, I think, as well. But, you know, if these guys have this stuff tarnished on their records, then you can't name streets after them and highways after them and all this crap. It's just crazy. More earthquakes happening in Oklahoma. The U.S. Geological Survey says a 3.2 magnitude earthquake struck just before 6 a.m. on Sunday, about 27 miles northeast of Oklahoma City. The Logan County Sheriff's Office says no damage was reported. The sixth earthquake in 4 days has been recorded there. On, you know, a 3.7 magnitude quake was recorded Thursday, and then three more were recorded Friday. And, you know, of course, everybody's already, I mean, folks, when you go and look at Yahoo News articles, I mean, look, here's one right here. That's fracking amazing. Okay, look, when you go through and look at it, yeah, more fracking, the majority, like, I don't know if you ever looked at comments on Yahoo News articles before, but literally the lowest common denominator post on these things. I'm really trying to be generous, trying to be nice with it. Let's just say some dumb motherfuckers post on Yahoo comments. Let's just leave it at that. And almost every other comment on this, fracking is the reason this is happening. More fracking. That's fracking amazing. Fracking redneck T. Hicks. They're just folks, when it's become mainstream, or when the mainstream explanation for this stuff happening is fracking to the point where, you know, Joe Blow nobodies know the term and think that that's what's happening, it's time to start looking in other areas. It's time to start considering other things may be the cause of this. You know, when I first heard about the fracking stuff and saw Gasland and all that, I was gung-ho about wanting to get involved in with it, but I'm starting to think it's a red herring. I'm starting to think that it's been put out there to get us to latch on to, so that, again, we don't look into the real mechanisms and the real causes of these things. And anybody, you know, that makes a documentary, and then within just a few months of that documentary coming out, especially on the topics like that, and especially not having the backing of a big, you know, film company, gets nominated for an Academy Award, I'm sorry, I smell a rat. You know, movies that have real information, real factual stuff in them, folks, never have and never will be awarded an Academy Award. It just doesn't happen. In fact, every single filmmaker in the world knows that if you want to make, you know, you have to make the decision what kind of filmmaker you want to be. Absolute point blank, you have to make that decision. But nobody, you know, nobody in the history of the world has ever put factual information real that wasn't bullshit and got, you know, an award from the establishment. Give me a break. I mean, who owns and controls the Academy? The same people that own and control the gas wells. I think it's a red herring. I think that people are putting a lot of time and energy into fighting this fracking thing, and I think that it's a red herring. I think there's something much more sinister, much worse going on here that they're covering up for. They're using this as a distraction technique. Boy, you know, talking about my new film again, we show a pretty clear picture in that film that, you know, it's like people that say, oh, that Satanists are, you know, the problem. And then it turns out the person that's the biggest, you know, anti-Satanist person or whatever is a Satanist, or, you know, the Republican congressman who started the biggest anti-gay rights group. And then it turns out this guy's, you know, picking up cabana boys with 8-inch perfectly sculpted cocks to, you know, take on vacation with him for a weekend. It's the same thing over and over and over again. I show that in the film extensively, but yet here's another example of this. And, you know, it's almost a prerequisite. It's certainly, from what I understand, a prerequisite for the Jesuits that you have to be a homosexual. Prerequisite. You have to have been fucked in the ass by the time you were like 3 years old by a man to even be in the Jesuit order. Now, that's not something I, you know, put in my films. I like to keep...
Coming back home. Well, Tony got a job, 3 kids, and a lovely wife.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast, and glad you'd be with us. I think I, give me just one second here. I think I have figured out the source of this. It's weird. This skipping stuff is doing it real bad there, but in the archive won't be touched, so it won't matter. But I've got everything in the background turned off here on this computer, and I was just between the break there looking at the. It says I have 5,885 total megabytes of physical memory, right? But it says that I have 4,245 and growing cached megabytes of RAM, with 4,594 available megabytes, but yet only 365 megabytes free. Now, what does that mean? I mean, there's nothing running. I think there's like six. There's 6 gigs of RAM in this machine. Yeah. But there's literally nothing running, but yet it says that there's only 410 megabytes of free RAM, but yet 4,500 something of that is being available. So if that same amount that's available is being cached, where is that RAM being cached at? That's the question. And how do I reclaim that? Because I think that's where the problem is coming through at here. Anybody in the chat room got any gurus got any ideas there? Because I'm out of ideas here. I don't know what to do. It's driving me crazy though. Because it only does it when we go live. As much as I don't want to think we're being messed with, I just can't help but think that's it. I don't know. I don't know what else to do. There's any way I can go in there and clear that? I know it was skipping on the stream. I heard it skipping in my headphones, so that means it's going to be skipping on the stream. But what I'm saying is, Memtest 86, is that, what does that do? Is that like a memory program? Memtest 86, I'll try that. Okay. Someone's caching all my RAM and I can't figure out what's doing it. That's just strange. Oh, it says I have to buy that. I'm not going to buy that. But nonetheless, I'll try to figure this out later. But yeah, I'm just stumped as to what could be doing that, especially when there's, you know. Yeah, very well could be some kind of NSA backdoor thing. Very well could be that. I don't know. But it is rather frustrating. But yeah, I mean, it'll be... it doesn't say it's free. It says I had to pay for it. It says it's $9.95. I'm not going to pay for that. So, I don't know what to do. I'm going to continue on with the show here because we'll still, you know, you can catch on the archive, I guess. It's just funny to me. It would start doing this. I don't know what else to do. I guess I could maybe try to replace this computer. I don't know. There's nothing on this computer though. I mean, there's nothing. It's only had like a year. It's got plenty of hard drive space, plenty of RAM, plenty of processing power, and nothing else at all is running. I mean, I've got it stripped down to almost nothing as far as background processes goes. And there's nothing besides the operating system. There's no files stored on the internal hard disk to this thing. I got a terabyte external plugged into it, but that won't affect the RAM. So I don't know. I'm at a loss. But nonetheless, I'm going to go get into the rest of the Emerald Temples of Toph for you here tonight. The Secret of Secrets. This is the final tablet of the Emerald Tablets of Toth. We're going to get into that here for you right now. Now ye assemble, my children, waiting to hear the Secret of Secrets. which shall give ye the power to unfold the God-man and give ye the way to eternal life. Plainly shall I speak of the unveiled mysteries. No dark sayings shall I give unto thee. Open thy ears now, my children, and hear and obey the words that I give. First, I shall speak of the fetters of darkness, which bind you in chains to the sphere of the earth. Darkness and light are both of one nature, different only in seeming, for each arose from the source of all. Darkness is disorder. Light is order. Darkness transmuted is light of the light. This, my children, your purpose in being, transmutation of darkness to light. Hear ye now of the mystery of nature, the relations of life to the earth where it dwells. Know ye that you are threefold in nature, physical, astral, and mental in one. Three are the qualities of each of the natures, nine in all, as above, so below. In the physical are these channels, the blood which moves in vortical motion, reacting on the heart to continue its beating. Magnetism, which moves through the nerve paths, carrier of energies to all cells and tissues. Akasa, which flows through the channels, subtle yet physical, completing the channels. Each of the three attuned with each other, each affecting the life of the body. They form the skeletal framework through which the subtle ether flows. In their mastery lies the secret of life in the body, relinquished only by will of the adept when his purpose in living is done. Three are the nature of the astral mediator, is between above and below, not of the physical, not of the spiritual, but able to move above and below. Three are the natures of mind, carrier of the will of the great one, arbitrator of cause and effect in your life. Thus is formed the threefold being, directed from above by the power of four. Above and beyond man's threefold nature lies the realm of the spiritual self. Four is it in qualities, shining in each of the planes of existence, but 13 in one, the mystical number. Based on the qualities of man are the brothers. Each shall direct the unfoldment of being. Each channel shall be of the great one. On earth, man is in bondage, bound by space and time to the earth plane. Encircling each planet, a wave of vibration binds him to his planet of unfoldment. Yet within man is the key to releasement. Within man may freedom be found. When you have released yourself from the body, rise to the outermost bounds of your earth plane. Speak you the word Dor-e-Lila, Dor-e-Lila. Then for a time, your light will be lifted. Free may you pass through the barriers of space. For a time of half of the sun, 6 hours, free you may pass the barriers of the earth plane and see and know those who are beyond you. Yes, to the highest worlds you may pass. See your own possible heights of unfoldment. Know all earthly futures of soul. Bound are ye in your body, but by the power you may be free. This is the secret whereby bondage shall be replaced by freedom for you. Calm, let your mind be at rest. Let your body be conscious only of freedom from flesh. Center your being on the goal of thy longing. Think over and over that thou wouldst be free. Think of this word, La'am il Ganover. La'am il Ganover. And over in thy mind, let it sound. Drift with the sound to the place of your longing. Free from the bondage of flesh by your will. Hear ye while I give the greatest of secrets. How you may enter the halls of Amenti and enter the place of the immortals as I did and stand before the lords in their places. Lie down and rest your body. Calm your mind so that no thought disturbs you. Pure must you be in mind and in purpose, else only failure will come unto thee. Vision Amenti, as I have told in my tablets, long with the fullness of heart to be there. Stand before the lords in your mind's eye. Pronounce the words that I give you. Pronounce them mentally inside of your head. Mekut el Shab el Hal Sir Bin el Zabot Zin Efron Kwar El. That sounds like fucking Hebrew. Toth's giving out Hebrew. Now that's just wonderful. That should tell you something right there. Relax thy mind and thy body. Then be sure your soul will be called. Now I give you the key to Shambhala, the place where my brothers live in the darkness. Darkness but filled with the light of the sun. Darkness of earth but light of the spirit guides you when my day is done. Leave thou your body as I have taught you. Pass to the barriers of the deep hidden place. Stand before the gates and their guardians. Command thy entrance by these words. I am the light. In me is no darkness. Free am I from the bondage of night. Open thou the way of the 12 and the 1, so I may pass to the realm of wisdom. When they refuse you, as surely they will, command them to open by these words of power. And these words of power are, I am the light. For me, there are no barriers. Open, I command, by the secret of secrets. Adam, El, Ahim, Sabur, Zu, Adam. Then if thy words have been truth of the highest, open for thee, the barriers will fall. Now I leave thee, my children. Down yet up to the halls I shall go. Win you the way to me, my children, and truly my brothers you shall become. Thus finish I my writings. Keys let them be to those who come after, but only to those who seek my wisdom. For I am only for only these, for only for these am I the king and the way. You always got to love that. It's always, I think some fascinating stuff in these tablets. And I'm glad we read them, but when it's all said and done, it still kind of feels like, follow me, obey me, do things my way. And if you do things the way I tell you do it and do it my way, then you're going to have eternal life or you're going to have power and the rest of this stuff. It just kind of sounds like the makings of a cult and religion and everything else that we've known. It kind of sounds like the blueprint for all that. But at the same time, I don't think that we can overlook this information with just that. I mean, at the same time, it still warrants looking into. At the same time, there's still things here that, the stuff about the halls of Amenti and inner earth and all this different stuff, Shambhala. I mean, it's highly interesting stuff in the way that it coincides with a lot of the stuff that was in the Lost Book of Enki. It's very fascinating. But ultimately, I think that it's pretty clear, at least in my opinion, from the research I've done, that all, you know, if you and I were to go to some other planet and find a, you know, primitive race and start having sex with them, we get pretty much set ourselves up as gods if they were, you know, more primitive than we are. And that's what all these guys did. They went around, you know, and the earth was so big and they were just had free reign. They went all over the earth setting themselves up as gods. Because on their planet, allegedly, they, you know, it was very difficult to get that kind of power. It, you know, everybody was subservient to the power structure. So here they are, you know, given free reign on a new planet and a new species. And, you know, as above, so below, what happens when, you know, you get a little power, everybody wants to be a god, you know, or starts fancying themselves gods and the rest of this. So interesting stuff there. I think the next one, I had a request to read, the Kybalion, I think is how you said it, Kybalion, or Le Kybalion, said to be there.